Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here at the Inquirer Studio with Inquirer Podcast producer Phil Didion. It's finally week one. The Bengals will play a regular season game this week, which means there's no shortage of news and things to talk about this week. So excited to get things started here on the podcast, previewing the matchup, talking about what's going on with the Bengals. So let's kick things off and talk about where things stand with a couple of things regarding the Bengals right now. We had a chance to speak with head coach Zach Taylor on Monday, and in his press conference, he said that Bengals cornerback Chidobe Awuzie is going to play on Sunday. That doesn't really come as a surprise, as it pointed that way throughout training camp, with him finally getting to be able to do 11-on-11 reps in the final weeks of training camp. But Taylor confirms the news that the Bengals will have their starting cornerback back in the lineup, and he's going to be going up against a very familiar face, one of his best friends, Amari Cooper. And it's a game that will likely have a lot of feelings and emotions for Chido, because this game in Cleveland last year on Halloween was the game in which Chido tore his ACL. So, of course, this one you've got to think is going to have a lot of emotions on top of the fact that it's his first game back. So wishing all of the best for Chido in that first game back. It's been a long road in terms of recovery for him, and he's one of the best guys in the Bengals locker room. So an update there, it's huge for the Bengals to have him back, because Amari Cooper has presented a lot of problems for this Bengals secondary over the last couple of seasons. And the Browns added Elijah Moore, and he is, you know, a deep threat weapon that the Bengals will have to account for. And you like their odds better with Cam Taylor, Britt, and Chido as the starting cornerback duo. So to kick things off from an injury standpoint, that's where we'll start. And as far as Joseph Osai, I reported earlier a couple weeks ago that Osai is expected to miss up to 4 weeks. When I had a chance to speak with him, he said they're going to reevaluate things after 2 weeks. But it sounded like, and he did not practice on Monday, that he is definitely going to not play against the Browns. Of course, miracles can happen, and it was an encouraging sign to see him on the rehab field dressed in his uniform. But from my conversation with him, he said it'll be a better gauge after about 2 weeks. So we'll check back in next week to see if he's able to advance in his rehab and potentially make it back for the Ravens game. But it sounds like you will not be seeing Joseph Osai, which is a bummer, because expectations were high from him coming off of the training camp that he had. But good news is he avoided a long-term injury to his ankle. So we will keep you updated on when he is expected to return. And of course, let's talk about Joe Burrow. It is 11:11 on Wednesday morning when this podcast is being taped, and there is still no contract extension yet for Cincinnati's quarterback one. I had a chance to speak with Robin and Jimmy Burrow yesterday. I encourage all listeners to check out that interview. They are great. They were in town promoting an event for Joe Burrow's foundation called the Dine for Nine. I have extensive details on what exactly that event is and how you can get involved with what they're doing with their foundation on Cincinnati.com. And you can also check out the podcast episode wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. That episode is up already. And they're fun and charismatic, and they talk a lot about why the foundation is so important to the family, Joe's journey from the Heisman, winning the Heisman, to COVID year, and now what they expect of the Bengals. I asked them, do the contract talks stress them out? And they said, you know, they trust the team around that Joe Burrow has with him, and, you know, they're really hopeful. And his mom, Robin Burrow, said she thinks he's going to be here for a long time. So it doesn't seem like there's a lot of worry that the deal is not done, but it sure seems like today, this morning, might have been the time frame that it might have happened, because Burrow is scheduled to talk to the media for the first time since injuring that calf over a month ago. As his normal Wednesday duties, NFL quarterbacks have to speak to the media once a week during game weeks, and he is going to be talking to the media around 3 o'clock. So be sure to check back on Cincinnati.com for those updates. We'll have you covered there. But you kind of got the vibe that he came back to practice last week. Okay, that must mean things are, it's an encouraging standpoint from the contract stuff, but didn't happen on Monday, didn't happen on Tuesday, and as of Wednesday morning, it did not happen. So we will see. I would think it's going to be a massive deal if he does not have that deal signed and has to go out and play that week one game against the Browns just because of the injury stuff that could potentially happen. I mean, he's already an injury prone quarterback and he's torn his ACL. He's had an appendectomy. He now had a strained calf. And you would think that the Bengals and his camp are able to get something done so that he can go out and play on Sunday and not have to worry about what happens if I get hurt. Because that is something that players should factor into their decisions of, you know, if they want to play. But it doesn't seem like that's interfering with him practicing. He practiced on Monday and he is expected to practice every day this week. The team gets back to work today where they really install their game plan on Wednesday. But no contract update as of right now. We'll see what he has to say about it. I'm anticipating a whole lot of I'm not worried about it. It'll get done when it gets done. That's just kind of how he answers those type of questions. But we'll see if he has anything more to say. And if there is an update, I would say keep your eye on the next couple of days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Because I think if a deal were to get done before week one, it would be on one of those days. It doesn't seem like they would be the type that on a Sunday morning while he's focused and getting ready for the game, they would want to put that on his plate. But we will see. A lot of unexpected and not a lot of information out there. Burrow's camp and the Bengals have agreed to keep things between them too. No leaks. So with that comes speculation, and we're just going off of, you know, what we know, things that have happened in the past. And right now, Burrow's agent, Brian Arolt, has three major players in the NFL in Nick Bosa, Joe Burrow, and Justin Jefferson, and none of those three have extensions done, and they were all eligible for it. So he's got a lot of work on his plate right now, but the Burrow contract's obviously going to be the biggest of those three and arguably the most important. So we will see. We'll keep you posted here as far as those contract talks. So let's talk a little bit about the Cleveland Browns. And in a couple minutes, I'm going to bring in my friend Mike Renner, who is going to give us a little bit more of his thoughts on the upcoming matchup. And I'm super excited about the mock draft he's going to share with us. I'll get into that in a couple minutes, but I'll give you some of my thoughts on the upcoming matchup with the Cleveland Browns. It's pretty fitting that the Bengals, their week one opponent is against a team that they have struggled to beat in Cleveland since Zach Taylor became head coach. And you can't really draw too many conclusions there. And coaches will always say each game is different. But the truth is that it's been a tough place for Joe Burrow to play. And it's been a tough place for the Bengals to come in and play in Taylor's tenure. And there's a lot of reasons behind that that you can point to. Each game tells a different story, of course. But there are players on the Browns' current roster that are still there that are going to be players that keep the Bengals' offensive and defensive coordinators up at night worrying about how do we make sure that this season we are able to start the way we want to. Last year, that 0-2 start was a hole that the Bengals really had to crawl out of, and it was something that Mike Hillen said, we do not want to be in that situation this year. And that's why he pushed for the Bengals defensive starters to get to see some preseason time so they can be ready for week one. So what is ready for the Bengals? On the defensive side of the ball, a lot of returning faces. I don't anticipate any major schematic changes. Lou Anarumo knows what he wants to do on defense, and their game plan is going to start and end with how they defend Nick Chubb, the Browns all-pro running back. He's one of the best, if not the best, running back in the game. And over the last couple of seasons, he has caused massive fits for the Bengals. But the good news is, because it's week one, the Bengals are very healthy on the defensive side of the ball and have all their key players in that run defense. So I think, as I just mentioned, it starts with Nick Chubb, but the factor here is now about Deshaun Watson. And yes, the Bengals defense saw Deshaun Watson in the second meeting late in the season last year, but that really wasn't the Deshaun Watson that any of these Bengals players are expecting to see this year. He now has a full year in Kevin Stefanski's system. And when he came back last year, he hadn't played in over a year. And so when I had a chance to talk to a couple of Bengals players in the locker room on Monday, and I asked, you know, what's it like preparing for Watson now this year compared to last year? They said, well, it's different. And they all pointed to the fact that they knew that he wasn't really himself in that game last year, just because it's really hard to come in and be the dominant force you once were when you miss that much time, like Watson did, serving his suspension and not playing in those final games with the Texans. So the Bengals are expecting to see Watson at his best. And as I mentioned, he's healthy too. So there's no nicks and bruises there. As a quarterback who does like to get out of the pocket and scramble, sometimes you are subjecting yourself to potentially getting hit more. And you know, in training camp, they really say, you know, we want to protect the quarterback. So he's going to be coming into this game healthy. And the Bengals defense has a ton of respect for what he can do with his arm, but more importantly, what he can do with his feet as well. And they are expecting Watson to have his offense at full strength, and they're going to be ready to play against him. So that's the biggest question around this Browns team. And you'll get to know a little bit more about what you should expect for Watson this season, because he needs to be good for a lot of things to go right in Cleveland this year. They spent a lot of money to bring him to Cleveland, and they gave him that first year to get acclimated, and they knew there were going to be some lumps that came along with it. But this is the year that they want to see him return to what he was in Houston, and the Bengals are going to do everything they can to disrupt that, and that's what they're hoping to do. Mike Hilton and the rest of the Bengals defense, Mike Hilton, shout out, is a captain this year, a friend of the Bengals Beat podcast. So we want to give Mike Hilton some love here. A well-deserved honor for him. And I really loved his tweet. He put out a tweet from undrafted to a team captain. And I thought that was really cool. And those of you that have listened to the podcast with Mike as our co-host, he's just made up of the right stuff. And it's hard to not be a fan of Mike Hilton. So he is a captain in the secondary, which I thought was going to be the case, because with Von Bell and Jesse Bates no longer here and Cheeto coming back from injury, I really thought that Mike is kind of the voice of reason in that room. And it turns out that the rest of the team voted for him. It's him, Sam Hubbard, and DJ on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, Mike Hilton said, we're really going to get into the nitty gritty of the game plan on Wednesday. So he said to check back with him on Wednesday for more film study questions about Watson. But the Bengals are expecting him to be in good form, and they're going to give him all the respect. So I think that there's a lot of question marks. You can't predict too much about what the Browns offense will do, because you just don't know what you're getting in Deshaun Watson. But you know you're getting a healthy Nick Chubb and a healthy Amari Cooper, and those guys are going to be a tough outfit. But we'll see if the Bengals are going to be up to the challenge on the defensive side of the ball. So now let's switch to the offensive side of the ball. What is Joe Burrow going to look like? That is the biggest question this offense faces once again heading into a week one. And Burrow is certainly hoping his week one this year doesn't go as it did last year against the Pittsburgh Steelers when he turned the ball over 5 times. That is so uncharacteristic of Burrow and the way he plays. But you do have to wonder, yes, he did get a week's worth of practice this week, but is he still going to need to knock off some rust? And not to mention, Myles Garrett and the Browns also added Za'Darius Smith this year. They are going to be breathing down his neck. And the hope is that the Bengals offensive line is so much better this year with Orlando Brown and with guys like Cordell Volson going into his second year, with Ted Karras anchoring the middle and Alex Kappa healthy, with Jonah Williams getting his first game reps on the right side. You hope that they can hold up a little bit better against those guys on that vicious Cleveland defensive front. But Myles Garrett is who he is. He's one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. He had 16 sacks last season. Nick Bosa led the way with 18 and a half. But regardless, Myles Garrett lines up all over the field, go on the left rush from the right and the left side, and has just been a menace and someone Burrow and that Bengals offensive line, they have a ton of respect for him because what he can do, but he's been a struggle for them to try and figure out how to beat him. So we will see. But the good news is that the Bengals coaching staff has had all offseason to game plan for this specific game. So I'm sure they will come out with some things that we're not expecting to see. And this is usually the time where coaches will be able to show some of their new wrinkles of their scheme. And we will see what Frank Pollock and offensive coordinator Brian Callahan have cooked up in terms of how to protect against Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith up front. The Bengals certainly have the advantage in the passing game, especially with their receivers, because Cleveland's top cornerback Denzel Ward is currently in concussion protocol. And when a player is, you never know what can happen. So they don't, the first injury report will be out today, but it's certainly notable. And if he can't go, you definitely have to give that nod to the Bengals, because T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyler Boyd have all said he's the best cornerback that they go up against. So if they don't have him, it's a significant advantage for those receivers. So we will continue to monitor Ward's status throughout the week. But lots of questions about what that Browns defense is going to look like under new defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. He's known for the type of pressure packages and defensive fronts that he likes to run based off of his time in Philly. But again, this is his first season in Cleveland with this new cast of characters, so we will see what he has under his sleeve to try and throw at the Bengals. So looking forward to watching it. I think it's going to be a great game. Both teams have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball, so I think it's going to be a great game. I am releasing my picks on Cincinnati.com. They will be out by the end of the week, but I do have the Bengals winning this game. I think that they understand how important starting the season is, and I think that it's going to be a little bit ugly early on, as it typically is against Cleveland, while they try and figure out how they're going to match up against him. But I do think the Bengals come out of Cleveland with the win and start the season 1-0. So those are just some of my thoughts on the upcoming game. But I really want to bring in my friend Mike Renner, as I mentioned earlier, to talk a little bit more about the matchup. And before Mike and I started recording, he told me that today was the day he was going to be dropping his first mock draft. And for those that didn't catch the first episode with Mike, he is the lead draft analyst for The Messenger, a new startup site. But Mike is one of the best draft analysts in the NFL, and he spent years as the lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. So if there's anyone that knows about the draft, it's Mike. And I'm really excited to be able to bring some of this type of analysis and insight into this podcast earlier on, and not just talk about the draft when the season's over, so that way our listeners can keep an eye on some of the players that Mike believes could be fits for the Bengals based off of what he's seeing. He's studying the college tape, and he's now mirroring it with the different NFL teams and their needs. And he's got a pretty good pick for the Bengals. Of course, mock drafts are early. It's a really early one, and you just don't know where things can go. But I think Bengals listeners will enjoy who Mike has picked out, and I certainly learned a lot from him, and I'm going to be keeping my eye on this player. So here's my conversation with Mike.
Well, Mike, you had a weekend to watch all the college football. Is that your favorite weekend besides draft weekend?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I'm always partial to a divisional round weekend of the NFL playoffs, because I'm still more of an NFL guy at heart. I do love college football. But divisional round, where it's just like game, then game on Saturday of NFL, Sunday of NFL, that's tough to beat. But I think this upcoming weekend, where it's, you know, you get some real games in week two of college football, you have actual NFL full slate. That to me is probably like the best kickoff weekend of the year.
So I wasn't able to watch that many games, and I feel like I missed the best game of the weekend in not being able to watch TCU versus Colorado. But I was following your tweets, and almost every person that I follow, I feel like, tweeted something about Colorado. I know it's only one game, but before we get into Bengals Browns, do you think what Deion Sanders is doing there is sustainable, and are some of those guys like Travis Hunter and Deion's son, I'm blanking on his name. Are they legit NFL prospects?
So I actually had a lot of money on Colorado because I'd watched those guys' tape from a year ago. And I'm like, Travis Hunter is insane, one. And Shadur is I'm not like putting him in like a first round conversation at quarterback. He's still young. He's still only a junior this year. So it's still only his third year. But like, I was watching him, like, this guy could be a real prospect. If he shows out, if he takes like a next step, like he does a lot of things really well. He's very fundamentally sound at quarterback and very physically talented. Obviously, you're Deion Sanders' son. You're going to be physically talented. So I think those guys are real prospects. Now, this team right now, the line of scrimmage is too bad for me to like get on board with them making noise, whether it's playoff, whether it's anything like that, winning the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12 is actually pretty solid this year, has some really good teams at the top.
Sounds like it.
But I do think it's sustainable that this is not only just sustainable, this is where everything's going. Like the guys like Deion, coaches who are really investing in their players, having this symbiotic relationship in the locker room is the way college football is going. In my opinion, and you're only going to see them consolidate more guys in the transfer portal. And it's easier to build up overnight than ever before. And I don't think that they're great right now, but I don't think it can be understated how insane it was what he did. They were 1-11 last year, and they beat a team that was in the national championship game. That just does not happen without Deion Sanders there. No other coach is capable of doing that. So I'm very excited to see how this journey keeps going.
Yeah, and in a couple weeks, I mean, you think that game against USC is going to be a big deal? Because I can already predict College Game Day is going to be there. I feel like there's probably going to be a ton of NFL scouts. I think that one's going to be a fun one. What were some of the surprises for you over the weekend? For me, it was how bad LSU played in the second half versus FSU. And then what is going on with the Clemson Tigers?
I don't think that was too surprising to me. I think Clemson's kind of been on the downfall. I talk about how Deion's probably the future of college football. Dabo and like not using the transfer portal is you're missing out when that's the case. So that was surprising to me. Honestly, the other thing that was a little surprising to keep a little more local, Ohio State's offense. I looked just dysfunctional. Now they still win by 20. I still think, you know, sky is falling. People are a little overblown, but you know, if anyone was like a C.J. Stroud doubter at Ohio State about how good he was, I think they are going to be sorely missing him this upcoming season.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch him play versus Indiana, but I read about it and saw the score. It didn't seem like offensively they had the type of day that they wanted to have, because you looked at some of the other scores. Gosh, who was it? Was it Oklahoma that just beat the doors off of Butch Jones down there? And what is it, Arkansas State?
Arkansas State,
Butch Jones was the coach at UC for a couple of years when I was there. So I feel like I kind of follow him. But yeah, that didn't seem good. But yeah, it didn't seem like that was up to Ohio State's level of play. I thought Penn State looked good in that game too. But yeah, it was a great weekend of college football. So Mike is going to drop. He has his first mock draft, which we did not plan this, but he let me know beforehand that he's got his first mock draft dropping on the Messenger this week. And it's a treat for us because he's going to tell us a little bit about why he made a selection for the Bengals. But we'll get to that later on. So we're going to kick things off today and talk a little bit about the upcoming matchup between the Bengals and the Cleveland Browns, the week one matchup. It, I think, is a game that it didn't get, you know, CBS's top crew of Tracy Wolfson and Tony Romo and Jim Nance, but they got the second crew. And I think it's one of the better week one games if you're looking at just a lot of unknowns with, you know, there's not a ton of unknowns with the Bengals, but there is some with Burrow not having played in training camp. And you know, is this the year that the Browns finally figure it out? And both teams have plenty of good players. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. And the Bengals really have struggled against the Browns, especially in Cleveland. So what are some of your opening thoughts on the matchup this weekend?
I think my biggest thought is, you know, we know where the Bengals are. We've seen them the past 2 years, but I don't think we know what this Browns team is. You know, as weird as that is to say, because they have, it's the quarterback position, Deshaun Watson. It's what are you going to get out of that guy? Because they gave up, you know, the most guaranteed money, like three first rounders, thinking they were getting a top five quarterback that we saw in 2018 and 2019 in Houston. You get that guy, this team can win a Super Bowl. Like this is the biggest wild card for my money in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns right now, because this roster top to bottom, it's the second best roster in the North. It's a top probably six or seven roster in the NFL, but that's outside of the quarterback position. And you put Deshaun Watson again in his prime when he was hot down in Houston back last time we really saw him there. This is a team that can win the North, win the AFC, whatever they want to. That's the kind of talent they have. But my Lord, the guy we saw last year in Deshaun Watson was a shell of himself. And there's no real telling that it's going to turn around. And there's no real telling that this offense is going to adjust to kind of what he liked to do down in Houston versus what Kevin Stefanski likes to do in Cleveland or has liked to do over the course of his career in Cleveland and Minnesota, wherever. So I think I'm just excited to see what Cleveland has. And like you said, they blew them out last year. Cleveland blew up Browns last year. Obviously, no Ja'Marr Chase in that game, but like, this is a team that's capable of real high end play. It's just, man, we need to see it at some point in time before anyone's ready to buy in. And I think you'd see that by like where any power ranking has them. They're like right in the middle of the pack. No one's really willing to have a strong take on where the Browns are going to be this season.
Yeah, I think this is the year, right? It feels like this is, if they don't make the playoffs or make significant improvement, it seems like they could maybe make some changes with their head coach and maybe the GM. You know, Deshaun Watson has to work out for a lot of people to be able to keep their jobs and for this team to be what you think it could be. But specific to what the Bengals have struggled in years past, and I know this is going to seem incredibly obvious, but Nick Chubb has been just a terror to the Bengals defense. And typically the Bengals defense isn't one that gets like gashed on in the run game. DJ Reader has really helped since they signed him. Their linebackers, Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson, I think are two of the best in the NFL. But for whatever reason, Nick Chubb has caused all sorts of problems. And I know, you know, I'm sure you probably have him as one of, if not the best running back. But what do you think is so unique about Nick Chubb and why he creates maybe more problems than any other running back?
I think it's, one, it's Nick Chubb's, like you said, he might be the best running back in the NFL. In terms of like the most difficult to tackle one-on-one, I think he is. Like even like I'd say more difficult to tackle than Derrick Henry because he can actually like make you miss. Henry's got to kind of like stiff arm you, run you over. Nick Chubb has a little bit of shake and elusiveness to him to where he can get one little cut and then all you're getting is this massive thigh in your face and you got no chance because he's just an absolute horse. So that, but then mixed with a running game and that stretch zone running game that really puts a lot of stress on you and that you don't get a clean downhill look at Nick Chubb. They're getting him laterally and then he kind of decides when he wants to cut up field. And you don't know when that's going to happen. And so you're going laterally as he's cutting up field and he kind of gets that head of steam advantage on you in that running scheme that they do there in Cleveland. So behind a good offensive line like that, that should be fully healthy now, you know, week one of this season. It's tough. That to me is probably the biggest worry I have for this Bengals is just being able to not let them consistently set the tone and establish the line of scrimmage. So That'll be the one of the biggest matchups to watch. I think it's the other line of scrimmage is the other biggest matchup to watch, truthfully, because I think otherwise, like whether it's wide receivers versus corners, I think there's pretty like clear advantages for the Bengals. Like I think they should win those one-on-ones, even though I think the Browns have a fairly good secondary. Like that's one the Bengals are going to win against, you know, 99% of teams in the NFL. But it's that line of scrimmage matchup on both sides where I just have a little bit of worry, especially given that Jim Schwartz, new DC for the Cleveland Browns, like they do a lot of chaos up front with their front four. They don't blitz much, but they're going to stunt, they're going to slant, and that means trouble when you have Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith now being those guys who can stunt and slant. That really puts stress on the athleticism of your offensive line. And for as good as I think this Bengals offensive line could be, and like comparatively to years past, it's still not an athletic offensive line. They are still fairly slow footed across the board to have to deal with athletes like Big Z, like Myles Garrett. So I think I could see areas where the Browns can give this Bengals team some fits.
that the Darius Smith signing was, I think, a very didn't get a lot of headlines this offseason, but could make the Browns really good on their defensive line. It sounds like Denzel Ward might not play. He has a concussion. We'll see if he practices today. But I know that Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase have all said he's the toughest cornerback that they face all year long. So I think, like you're saying, that it's definitely in the Bengals' favor. I think even with him, but if he's not playing, I think they might, as long as they can keep Burrow healthy and protected, that they should be able to get some things going in the passing game. But it's all about how one of the biggest question marks is how is Burrow going to look? Fortunately, for the most part, it's 4 out of 5 offensive linemen that he knows. So it's not the situation he was in last year where there were some new guys with Ted Karras and Alex Kappa and Lyle Collins. But it's still, Jonah's going to be getting used to his first game reps on the right side. And Orlando Brown, obviously, has been doing this for a long time on the left side, but it's still the first game and you expect some hiccups along the way. So I think, like you said, I think you nailed it. The battle of the trenches is what's going to define this game. If there's a player that you had to pick on both sides of for the Browns and for the Bengals, who is going to be like the difference maker in the game, who would you say?
Ooh, I don't know about difference maker for the Browns. I think Elijah Moore is like the biggest change to this offense for them. I think he's the one that, where were the, you know, look at this Browns offense from a year ago, and just where were the explosive plays in the passing game? They didn't exist. They were not an explosive. And that's like when you are so run heavy, you know, with what Kevin Stefanski does, like you better create big plays on top of that. That's why you get so run heavy. That's like the whole belief is that, you know, you suck everyone up to go over the top of them. Well, they never went over the top last year with Elijah Moore. Now, you know, he ran the 4.3s coming out of Ole Miss, was just, you know, underutilized last year, unhappy with the New York Jets. But you saw as a rookie, like, dude, super talented, and especially as a route runner down the football field. So I think he brings something to the table that they just didn't have last year. And if I were to pick like one guy who would make some like plays for the Browns that could push them over the edge offensively, it would be him in this game. On the other side, for the Cincinnati Bengals, I think the biggest thing then is the running game. Is can this defense stop the running game? So the guy I'm watching is probably DJ Reader. I think if he can really set the tone over, you know, a center and Ethan Pochettino, who's very good, but if he can set that tone in the middle of that line of scrimmage and really give the linebackers behind him some defined reads of where we need to be going in this running game and really give them that ability to tee off and come downhill quicker than not, I think you can see this Bengals, like they have the horse. They can stop anyone in the running game they want to. They have the dudes up front to do it. It's just they have to play up to their ability. So DJ Reader is really setting the tone in the middle. I think the Bengals have a good chance of stopping that running game.
Well, and since you brought up Elijah Moore, I feel like it's important to bring up that another question mark with this Bengals team that's related to what the Browns want to do in the passing game is Chido Awuzie is going to be coming back from his ACL for the first time. And he had a tough matchup against Amari Cooper when he tore his ACL on Halloween. That game was just not a great game for the Bengals. But, you know, it looks like he's back to Chido form, but still, you know, it's still his first game in a long time. And, you know, you expect him to not be perfect in this first game. So we'll see. I'm sure he'll probably be lined up more on Amari Cooper, but he could see some time on Elijah Moore and we'll see what Chido looks like. So that's another question mark for the Bengals. I didn't tell you that I was going to ask you this beforehand, so don't be mad, but do you have a pick?
I do. I still think the Bengals, I think they're more cohesive right now. Like there's not as many new moving parts. Like they know who they are. They know how to win football games. They've been there, done that. I think the Browns still kind of need to get their feet wet and need to figure out who they are offensively and defensively with the new DC. So I think that you might see more growing pains with them than with the Bengals. So I'm picking the Bengals in this one.
All right. Do you have a score or not yet?
I had them against the spread as well. So I was thinking I think it's going to be moderate scoring. I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of like 24-17 out the game.
Okay. Well, that is Mike Renner's pick. I picked them to win as well this week. I just think they get this whole week, we can't go up to Cleveland and win thing out of their head and get a win. But they start with two AFC North games. And last year they learned the hard way about what happens when you go 0-2 to start. So before, I know you have to run, plenty of things you have working on. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about your mock draft. I'm super intrigued to hear who you picked to the thing. I was like, we can talk about that at another time, but I don't even know how you go on to predict where you think the Bengals are going to be picking in the draft. And I know it's all just like that's based off their record, but tell us who you have for the Bengals and why.
Yes, it's based off Super Bowl odds. So that's the order. Don't come at me. Right. But yeah, so the Messenger just dropped our sports section this week. I dropped mock draft in unison with us dropping the sports section. And I have the Bengals picking Johnny Wilson. If you watched the Florida State LSU game over the weekend, he was the behemoth on that Florida State offense. He's 6'7", 240 pounds. He plays wide receiver, but I think he'll be a tight end at the NFL level. And I think if you're in the AFC right now, it's really an arms race offensively. You better put some points up on the scoreboard. And I know they got three great wide receivers, but getting a guy that you can assuredly count on in the red zone with a catch radius as big as Johnny Wilson's, who's, again, 6'7", has an 8'10" standing reach. The guy's a monster, but also plays like can run routes like a wide receiver. I think that is where I'm looking at and why, like, I'm a little worried about the Bills this year if I'm a Bengals fan, because I think adding a tight end, just like adding a dynamic tight end, is what can get you to compete with the Chiefs, right? Like they have that dynamic tight end that just can move the chains at will. I think everyone could use one of those in their offense.
Is give me the NFL comp for him.
I mean, Darren Waller is probably like your closest NFL comp, but there's not a lot of 6'7" guys. Jimmy Graham probably back in the day was like how you would utilize him. It's just a guy you're throwing up the seams, you're throwing back shoulders to it. And I would not want to pair, you know, I'd want to pair a guy with that who can make those kind of contested back shoulder catches with probably the most accurate throw of the football over the middle of the field in the NFL. That just feels like it would be a match made in heaven.
Well, it's a really interesting pick by you because you don't know if T. Higgins is going to be back next year. They're in the middle of trying to figure that out. Well, we should know a little bit before this weekend, because if he doesn't have a contract extension, it surely does feel like the Bengals could take a receiver or a tight end early next year if he's not back. Plus, Tyler Boyd's in his final year. So it's not wild to think that the Bengals are going to target a guy like that early on. So I'm excited now because I'm going to be watching him all season long, because you said, you know, he could be a potential fit, and our listeners now can follow him along at Florida State. And of course, check out your mock draft on the Messenger today dropping and this week. How often do you have to do a mock draft?
Thankfully, I won't have to do one again until probably late in the season. You do one right before the season, as almost like a watch list. Here's who you should be watching probably as first round prospects going forward. But then we'll see, you know, every year, probably the preseason mock, you get about a third to half the guys right that end up being there. And then 15 or 20 or so come out of nowhere, not nowhere, but come out of, surprise you and rise up into the first round ranks.
Okay. Well, I'll be checking out a lot of Florida State games then. Mike, thanks so much for joining me. Looking forward to catching up with you after the game next week to get your analysis on the game. But have a good weekend and enjoy another college football and NFL weekend.
For sure, Kelsey. You enjoy as well.
Really enjoyed that conversation. And as I mentioned in the first podcast with Mike, he'll be joining me weekly on Mondays to recap the Bengals game. Today was a little bit of a different day because Monday was Labor Day and we wanted to give him the day off. And so we thought his analysis on the upcoming game would be great to add into this Wednesday podcast. So be sure to check back Monday afternoon. That's when we'll be having our podcast released with analysis from Mike. So if you're making the trip to Cleveland, drive safe, enjoy it. I hope it's supposed to be beautiful weather. I believe last time I checked, sunny and 70 degrees. So if you're making the trip, hope you enjoy it. But if you're at home watching, happy finally week one football Sunday to all of our NFL fans out there, and looking forward to bringing you guys along for the ride this year, and looking forward to talking to you guys next week.